the Word of God through the prayer of illumination. Lord God, help us to know your ways. Teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation. For you we wait all day long through Christ our Lord. Amen. The scripture is taken from 1 Kings 19, 11 through 13. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of a cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" These are the words of God for the people of God.
Well, good morning, everyone. We are rounding out our Encounter the series this morning with the idea of encountering the voice of God. And as I prepared the sermon for this morning, I thought the easiest way to talk about it would be to break it down into three major questions and then just work our way through the answers. So the three questions that I want to address are these. What is God's voice? And what do we mean when we say God's voice? The second question is, why should we care whether or not we encounter God's voice? And then finally, how do we encounter God's voice? And I want to jump right into that first question and ask, what is God's voice? Or what do we mean when we say or when we talk about God's voice? And as we turn to Scripture, we see God's voice appear in a wide variety of ways. Normally, the way that we would think about it is God's voice is exactly that, the voice of God that comes down and speaks to people. And this happens numerous times throughout Scripture. Some of the more famous examples that you might think about off the top of your head would be in Genesis chapter 3, when God is walking in the Garden of Eden and talks to Adam and Eve. But we also see it in Genesis chapter 6, when God speaks to Noah and instructs him that he should build an ark because he is going to be flooding the earth. Another famous example is Genesis chapter 12, as well as many of the chapters that follow that, when the Lord comes and speaks to Abram and later changes his name to Abraham. So the first way that we kind of think about the voice of God is quite literally God's voice coming and speaking to people. But there are other ways that God speaks to people. Another example would be angels. Angels speak on behalf of God. It comes from the Greek word angelos, which means messenger or envoy. So quite literally, the angels are just messengers of God, taking his voice and his words and delivering them to people. And again, we see this all throughout Scripture, but some of the more famous examples that everyone here probably knows includes Luke chapter 2, when the angel comes to the shepherds and proclaims that a Savior has been born this night in Bethlehem. In the same story, Matthew chapter 1, concerning the birth of Jesus, an angel comes to Joseph in a dream and says, "Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife." A little bit more of an obscure one is Judges chapter 6. An angel of the Lord comes to Gideon and speaks to Gideon. And these are just some of the ones that I thought of, but again, they are all throughout Scripture. God uses angels as his voice to the people. Likewise, in the Old Testament, we also have prophets who function very similarly. They receive a message from God, And then they act as God's voice, going and proclaiming his word to the nations. Again, some examples of this would include 1 Samuel, when God comes to Samuel and tells him he needs to go and preach these words to all of Israel. We have the prophet Jeremiah, who is appointed by God in Jeremiah 1:5 to go and be a prophet to the nations. Ezekiel chapter 2:7, and I'm going to quote this one because I thought it was really good and it really exemplifies my point. God comes to Ezekiel and he says this, "And you shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house." Ezekiel is commissioned by God to go and speak the words of God to the people. Another example is Jonah. God commands Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach against it. So like the angels, the prophets act as the voice of God, taking his words and sharing them with the people. So God speaks directly to people. He speaks to people through the angels. He speaks to people through the prophets. But he also speaks to people through his son, Jesus Christ. And a lot of us are like, yeah, that makes sense. Jesus, you know, is God. He's part of the Trinity. But there's even more to it than that. I would draw your attention to Hebrews chapter 1. And the entire book starts out this way in verse 1. "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he spoke to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world." So although Jesus is part of the Trinity and Jesus is 100% God, he is still speaking on behalf of God. And he himself even affirms this in John chapter 12. Jesus says this, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. For I know that this commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." So once again, we see that God's voice isn't just him speaking directly to people, but rather he has all these vessels that he uses to communicate. Angels, prophets, his very son. And the neat part about all of this is recorded in Scripture. We have the words that God spoke directly to people. We have the words that the prophets spoke to the people. We have the words that the angels spoke to the people. We have Jesus' words in the New Testament, oftentimes printed in red on our Bible. So the very words of God are printed in Scripture. And that's the last piece of this. God speaks and his voice is in Scripture. Beyond all of these examples of God speaking directly to people, when he is on Mount Sinai with Moses, he gives his law. And Moses brings the law down to the people, and the people regard the law as God's voice. These are the words of God. And then we make our way into the New Testament, and it's not just the law that are the words of God, but all of Scripture. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we read that all Scripture is breathed out by God. All of Scripture, the entire Bible, has been breathed out by God and are God's words. So when we talk about the voice of God, we're not just talking about God speaking directly to one person. We're talking about all these different ways that God gets his words to us. God's voice are all of these different means. And that brings me to the second question then. If God has all these different ways to communicate with us, if there are all these different ways for us to encounter God's voice, why should we care about it? And the first point that I want to make here is that because God wants to be in relationship with you. The reason why we should care is because the creator of the universe wants to talk to you. The best example that I could find of this is in John chapter 10, and it's when Jesus is talking to a group of Pharisees, and he starts talking to them about shepherds and sheep, and what he says is that sheep will follow their shepherd's voice because they know their shepherd's voice. But sheep won't follow a stranger because they don't know the stranger's voice. And the thing about shepherds is that the sheep are their very livelihood. They love their sheep. They spend every waking moment with them. And I say every waking moment, but they spend every sleeping moment with them too. They sleep on the ground in the midst of their sheep. They take them to fields of grass where they can find food. They lead them to streams of water so that they have something to drink. They are the first line of defense against lions and bears and wolves. The shepherd wants to provide and protect his flock. And as Jesus speaks, he says, "I am the good shepherd." This is in John chapter 10, verse 14. "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." Jesus wants to be your shepherd. He wants to love you and care for you and protect you. But as sheep, he can only do that if we follow the sound of his voice, if we listen to the sound of his voice. And this is what David is talking about in the 23rd Psalm when he says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." Now, David in Scripture is defined as a man after God's own heart. He is a man who's chasing after God, and he calls the Lord his shepherd. And the Lord provides for him everything that he needs, all the food he could possibly want. The sheep have their green pastures, all the clean water he needs, the still waters, right? The Lord is David's shepherd. And so again, my first point to this, why should we care? It's like the Lord and David, God wants to be our shepherd. He wants to provide for us and to protect us, but he can't do that unless we follow him and know his voice. The second reason why we should care about whether or not we encounter God's voice is because God's voice is powerful, and it's full of truth, and it's full of life. And when I say God's voice is powerful, that's not something that I say very lightly, and it's something that I think we gloss over a lot. When I say God's voice is powerful, what exactly do I mean? Well, you have to go back to Genesis chapter 1. And what we see is over and over and over again, God speaks things into existence. A majority of chapter 1 is set up in a repetitive fashion. It says, "And God said something, and it was so." Simply because God said it, it happened. For example, Genesis 1:3, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. In Genesis 1:9, God said that the water under the sky be gathered into one place and let dry ground appear. And it was so. Genesis 1:11, "And God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so." This happens a lot. And I can't give you every single example because there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There are 10 different examples of this in the first chapter of Genesis. God spoke, and it was so. God's voice is powerful. The other thing is that it's perfect. When God created all of these things, he created them perfectly. Everything was in perfect harmony. Everything is exactly as it was supposed to be made. It wasn't until Adam and Eve questioned the voice of God that things fell apart. In chapter 3, when that snake, that serpent comes along and says, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" It's when Adam and Eve questioned the voice of God that we see judgment and condemnation brought down. Right? It's only after they question the voice of God that they are kicked out of the garden. So to be sure, his voice is powerful, and it holds truth that we have to follow, or else there are consequences to be paid. But the flip side of that is, if we do follow his voice, if we do what it says, there is life and beauty. And this is what Jesus highlights. See, after spending 40 days in the wilderness, Jesus is hungry. He fasts for 40 days, and Satan comes to him and says, if you're God, turn this rock into a piece of bread and eat. And Jesus' response is a quote from Deuteronomy 8:3, and he says this, it is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. God's words bring life. And if God's words bring life, we should want to listen to them and encounter them. We should want to follow them and do what they say. So to be sure, there is judgment and condemnation in not doing them, but there is also life, and life exceedingly when we do. So now with these ideas in mind, the power of God's voice, but the life that it brings, I have to ask this question. If God's word is so powerful that he simply spoke everything that we know of into existence, and if his word is the source of true life, what could encountering his words do in your life? And at this point, I hope I have you intrigued. If not, even more than that, I hope I have you interested in encountering God's voice in your life. Because the next question that I hope you're asking is, how? How do I encounter God's voice? And that was that third question that I started with. And first and foremost, we're going to kind of wrap back to one of my earlier points. And it's, if all of God's words are here in Scripture, if every single word in this book is God's voice, we have to start by reading Scripture. We've already mentioned the fact that God spoke directly to people, that God spoke through angels, that God spoke through prophets, that God spoke through his son, Jesus, and that everything is recorded in here. We've already talked about 2 Timothy chapter 6 when it says, all of Scripture has been breathed out by God. So if you want to hear God, simply open your Bible and read out loud. If these are indeed the words of God and you want to audibly hear it, all you have to do is read this out loud. Or gather together in a small group of people and take turns reading it out loud. Right? If this is the word of God, that's all you have to do to hear it. Another way that we can hear the voice of God is through other Christians. But to be clear, these other Christians have to be Christians that they themselves know the voice of God. Right? These other Christians have to be people that are reading the Bible daily, people that are praying daily. They have to be other people that have surrounded themselves with other faithful and righteous Christians. It doesn't matter how old they are. It doesn't matter the experience that they have in their life. If you want to hear God's voice, find someone that knows God's voice, someone that talks to him and listens to him daily. And finally, the last way that we can encounter God's voice in our lives is through the Holy Spirit. And I'll admit, this is a bit of a catch-all because it can look like a lot of different ways. First and foremost, praying. It's weird that I've been talking about encountering the voice of God, and this is the first time I've talked about it, but praying is so important. That's what we're talking about with the youth right now, and a couple weeks ago, we talked about what prayer is. And the youth had really great ideas, and like a lot of you, their first thought was, praying is talking to God, which is right. Prayer is talking to God. But it's more than that. Prayer is also taking the time to listen to God. When we have a conversation with someone, we don't sit down in a coffee shop and talk to them for 2 hours and then leave. That's not a conversation. What we do is we talk for a few minutes, and then we listen for a few minutes. And then we talk for a few minutes, and then we listen for a few minutes. And it's this back and forth that we have for a really long time. And at the end of it, they know you better, and you know them better. Our relationship to God is the same way. If all we ever do is talk to him, but we never listen, God's getting to know us really well, but we're not getting to know him. And so I encourage you in your prayer life, in your personal prayer life, when you take time to pray, do exactly what you've done before. Take the time to praise God. Take the time to thank God. Take the time to ask for prayer requests. But then take some time at the very end to just sit there in silence and listen. Give God space to come and talk to you. We can encounter God's voice through the Holy Spirit, and that can happen through prayer. But it can also help it happen a few other ways. Maybe you're walking in the woods, and in nature you encounter God's voice. It could be in a sunrise or a sunset. Throughout the Bible, we see multiple people encounter God's voice in dreams. Perhaps it's in a sermon. The goal that Jimmy and I have up here is to preach the word of God as it is written. So maybe it's from a sermon or a lesson or a teaching from somebody else. What I'm getting at is that the voice of God is all around us because the Holy Spirit is all around us. And everything, every little thing is a chance for God to speak to you. And it brings me back to the scripture that we read this morning. Sometimes God uses really loud, big, and what I'd call just obnoxious ways to get our attention. Maybe it's a giant burning bush. Maybe it's a giant thundering cloud sitting on top of a mountain. Maybe it's getting swallowed by a fish. It's really hard to ignore God when he shows up in really big ways. But more often than not in our daily lives, God's not showing up in big ways, but little ways, over and over and over and over again. And for Elijah, God's presence didn't show up in a powerful wind. It didn't show up in a destructive earthquake. It didn't show up in a raging fire. God's presence showed up in a gentle whisper. And when that silence happened, he doesn't just sit there. He comes out to the mouth of the cave and he listens. Elijah is expecting the presence of God to pass by. And so he leans in to hear what God has to say to him. If he was busy, if he was preoccupied, if he wasn't paying attention, he might have missed it. But he was intentionally listening in to what God had to say. And that's the word that I really want to focus on this morning, is intentionality. If you want to see and you want to hear God's voice in your life, if you want to encounter God's voice, you have to be intentionally looking for it. Yes, he can appear in those big ways, but he also appears in the really little ways, in that gentle whisper. And if we're not paying attention for it, if we're not looking for it, we could completely miss it. So this brings me to kind of the big question that everything boils down into. Do you live your life expecting to encounter the voice of God? Are you intentionally leaning in to hear his voice on a daily basis? When you look at your life, are you reading your Bible daily? When you look at your life, are you praying and giving him time to respond daily? Are you surrounding yourself with other faithful Christians who themselves are surrounding themselves and leaning into the voice of God. I want to tell you this today. God wants to speak into your life. He wants you to encounter his voice. He wants you to know his voice because he wants to be your good shepherd. He wants to love you and provide for you and protect you. But he can only do that if you know his voice and follow him. It requires you to be intentional in looking for his voice. And so I want to leave you with this challenge. This week, find one way to be more intentional in listening to the life of God, into listening to the voice of God in your life. And Jimmy mentioned it earlier, and I'm sure you all have calendars and you're all aware, Lent starts this week. It starts on Wednesday. And traditionally, Lent is a period of fasting and prayer. We give something up so that we can make more space for God's presence in our lives. In essence, Lent is all about encountering the voice of God in our lives, and it is the perfect time to change something. It's the perfect time to be more intentional in finding God's voice in your life. So I'd encourage you, whether you've taken part in Lent this year, in the past, or this year, whether you plan on taking part in Lent at all, add something to your life. Find a way to be more intentional in leaning in to the voice of God. Because that's the goal, is to encounter the voice of God in our lives every single day. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Father, we come to you today humbly asking for you to speak to us. We ask that your voice would just come to us. Whether it's you coming directly to us, using the Holy Spirit or some other means, Lord, we just want to hear your voice in our lives today. And so as we prepare to start this season of Lent, Lord, we ask and we pray that we would make space for you. That we would intentionally lean in and listen to hear your voice every single day. So Lord, help us hear you. Help us be open to what you have to say and be with us every single day. Lord, we love you with our whole hearts and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Well, we're so grateful to be in worship together today. Thank you for joining us. Jacob, thank you for your message. Thank you for finishing up our series today on encountering God. And we're now set to begin the season of Lent to encounter the Lord. And I hope you will join us as we begin 40 days of prayer and fasting starting Wednesday. I hope you can join us in worship, but if you can't, then consider ways that you can start your 40 days of prayer and fasting on this Wednesday. I'll leave you with this benediction from Philippians chapter 4. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, then think about these things. And what you have learned and received and heard and seen, may you practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen.